I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to...
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Tell Us a Good Story. Here is part two of our conversation with author, preacher, and social media influencer, Mr. Kelly Kay. In this episode, we start off right where we ended in part one with the aftermath of Kelly's near-death car crash when he was on tour with the rock band Red. Then he goes into what he did after leaving the music industry, including becoming an insult comedian and then the in-game entertainer for the local minor league baseball team. But then we get into how Kelly turns his life around and eventually amassed over 600,000 followers on TikTok. Folks, can't wait for you to hear part two of our conversation with our new friend, Kelly Kay. How long did it take to recover from the burns, everything on your back, right?
So the healing of just my back was about three. I was in and out of burn centers for about 3 months, but the total healing probably was about a year. And then the mental healing was probably about 5 years of PTSD from being able to ride in a vehicle, sleeping in a vehicle. I still struggle today to sleep on an airplane or to sleep in a car because I just have this terror of waking up like that in that pain again. And no matter what I do, I can't shift that. But for a long time, it was difficult to ride in a car. I definitely couldn't sleep in a car, and there was no way I was going to get in a van or a bus. So that pretty much ended touring for me.
What about everyone else that was in the van?
So I'm the only one that got seriously hurt. Hayden, Red's drummer at the time, hurt his shoulder a little, but he had already hurt it. So it was just some more that he had done to an injury. I'm the only one that came out of the vehicle. There was a lot of interviews with the band and a lot of articles in like Heavy Metal magazine and stuff about that crash. And they always talk about the one guy that got hurt. I was the one guy. That was me. But since I wasn't in the band, nobody named me. You know, who needs to know that guy?
Hey, but you were the backup bass player though, right?
I did play bass for them occasionally. Yeah.
Did you?
Right. Did you?
That's good. So it did work out.
Yeah, when Randy was having their first baby, instead of canceling the shows on the tour, since I was out there and the bass player, I just filled in and played bass for them as well. So that worked out pretty good. That was fun for me.
Yes.
That was when they had the number one rock song out. So to get to play with them having the number one rock song, I'm going to tell you, God cares about you. Mm. He cares about your desires in your heart. And even if what he's asking you to do doesn't go along with what you thought you wanted, he still makes a way so you get to experience that stuff, man. Mm. I love our Father and that he is so good like that, that he allowed me to get to play, even though that's not what he's called me to do.
So were you a believer before this accident?
Yes, I was a believer. I've been a believer my whole life. I grew up in a very godly home. Like, I just got to a point where I wanted what I wanted more than I cared about what he wanted. And I made a choice to step away from him. Knowing the consequences to that, I just said, God, I'm going to go do me for a while. If I die, so be it, which is not a good place to be, but that's where I was. So it wasn't until I went out and experienced how rough the world is, that's what really drew me back to saying, all right, God, I'm ready to give everything to you. But that crash was kind of the first step that get me back into that place.
Okay, so let's take it from the crash, right? You have the PTSD. You're no longer going to be involved as a tour manager in the music industry. You got to do something, right? So
right.
Can you talk about a couple of the things that you did, with the first being you turned into a comic?
Yeah, absolutely. So what you need to understand, though, is that everything that I'm doing, you know, trying to be famous in music, doing comedy, you know, I hosted a TV show. I'll get into that. All these things really came out of an emptiness in my heart of I felt so empty that I wanted other people to tell me how much they love me. I thought that if other people love me, then I would love myself because I was so empty on the inside. So I think that fame and being a celebrity will fill that void. So I'm constantly looking for that my whole life. That's kind of my whole story, right? So yeah, so I didn't start as a comic first.
Okay.
First, what happened was I went to a TV station So I still want to be famous. I'm not in music. So I think, okay, maybe I can get on TV. But who's going to give me a TV show? Nobody knows me. So I go to the TV station and say, hey, do you need any ad salesmen, right? You need somebody to sell ads. All I need is my foot in the door. Just get me in. If I can get in, I got this. So they did it, suckers, right? They hired me as an ad to sell ads for ABC in West Texas and New Mexico. So I start doing that for a minute, but it just takes me about 2 to 3 months before I made a really good relationship with the station manager, and I went and pitched him an idea for a show.
Okay.
I said, hey, I got this idea. I'll host this TV show. It'll be all about events and things that are coming to our area. We'll call it the Weekend Spotlight, and we'll spotlight events coming, because I knew that'll take 5 minutes. And then I'll have 20 minutes to do whatever I want with my own show. Well, they bought it. They're like, yeah, this is a great idea. You know, we'll talk about the things that are coming. You can host it. So I got my own show, and that sounds exciting, but it was really just a mix of Wayne's World and, you know, one of those stunt shows, you know, okay. People just do it, you know, that's what it was. It was not amazing by any means. But to me, I'm living the dream. Now right. I got my own TV show. We did about 80 episodes of that
show.
Wow.
That's
a
lot.
Yeah, we did it. We did a lot. We were having a blast. And then that station manager that gave me the show, he ended up leaving to go to another station. They bring in the new station manager, and we had a meeting the first day he was there. He calls the whole TV station together. And I remember it very clearly. He said, all right, we're going to make a lot of changes. He said, most of you are going to stay, but some of you are going to go. And then he looked at me and he goes, you are the first one to go.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he goes, I can't stand you. I can't stand your show. He's like, and you are out of here. And by the end of the day, I didn't have a job anymore.
What?
So, day one.
Yeah. So he lets me go, and I got to figure out again. All right, here we are back in the same boat. I'm empty still. I need a job, but I also need validation. I need people to love me. So now I had built a name as this TV host in my area. I was kind of a local celebrity. So I thought, how can I play to that? How can I make that work for me? So I started going to bars and clubs saying, hey, you tell me what your slow night is, and I will make that your busiest night. If I just tell people I'm coming, people will already show up because I'm coming. And then on top of that, what I'll do is I'll host like trivia night or comedy night or, you know, let's make a deal, some sort of video game night, you know? And that's what I started doing. And I started turning clubs into super busy, popular venues on those nights. But what I found worked the best was when I would go in and do insult comedy, meaning I didn't write a script. No comedy was pre-prepared. I just got on the stage with a microphone and just made fun of everybody in the room. Just, I saw you, I just would go to town and everybody else would laugh. When I started doing that, I'm telling you, these bars went from having 3 or 4 people on a Tuesday night to a line out the door with security, letting one in, one out. I mean, it got crazy.
All right, Steph, I've got a question for you. What's your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, You Met Her Where.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Bible.
Oh, oops.
What's your second favorite book of all time?
You Met Her Where?
A distant second.
Totally distant.
It's a pretty good book.
Sorry, God.
It's still a pretty good book. But we're so excited. Where can people get our book, honey?
Okay, I know this. Amazon.com.
Yes.
Barnes & Noble.
Yes,
and our website, KevinandSteph.com.
And what happens if they buy it off our website? What do they get?
An autograph from us.
Yes.
Who wouldn't want that?
So, listeners, if you've already read the book, thank you so much. We've had such good feedback. One thing that helps us, if you can give us a review on Amazon.com, we would greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much, and thank you for listening.
So many things from what you just said. One,
sure.
Your family is beautiful, Kelly.
Thank you.
Your wife, I thought she was going to have like sleeves of tattoos. No, she looks like the most conservative person ever.
She's so cute.
Me and my wife are total opposites. She does not like tattoos. She has a few. When we started dating, she went through this like rock and roll phase, and I could tell she was trying to please me, where she would do like black nail polish and she got some tattoos and stuff. But she hates her tattoos now. She regrets them. She used to do roller derby, so they really fit in back then. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Tough.
I mean,
girl.
She's 6'1", and dude, she is mean, and she is tough, boy. She is no, I don't mess with my wife, man. She's no joke. But yeah, we are polar opposites on the way we look, The way we live, we are total opposites, but that's what works for us.
The other thing is when you're talking about the insult comedy, the insult comedians that I see, for some reason, when people get made fun of, it's almost fun for them, right? It's almost like, yeah. I came here to get made fun of, right? So when you're saying you were just infuriating people, I wasn't expecting that, right? I thought they were going to be coming like, no, I want you to make fun of me, right? I want the attention.
They would, but you got to also understand the things that I were saying wasn't just surface level, ha, ha, ha. I mean, I got pretty evil.
Personal,
So not everyone was infuriated, but you got to think, some people were coming there to watch the show, but then you also got people that are just there, right? They're just there to have a night. They're just there to have a party with their boys or go drinking with their girls. They didn't want that, but I don't know that, so I got you. So there's people that would get mad, like, no joke. This is just a funny story from doing this. So when we got to the point where I needed a bouncer, my brother-in-law, this is no joke, I'm not exaggerating, he's 7'1", 450 pounds. The dude is huge. He's scary, okay? He's been to prison. The dude is a bad dude. My whole in-laws, man, my father-in-law was 6'11", my wife's 6'1", my son's 6'5", brother-in-law 7, they're huge, all right? So we hire him as my bouncer. He's protecting me at the door. So there's this husband and wife. I mean, I started at 5 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock, the bar is pretty empty, right? There's not a ton of people there yet. There's this guy and this girl sitting at this, and I say guy and a girl, they're probably in their 60s, 50s or 60s, sitting there having a drink. Well, there's not very many people. So I zoom in on them, and I just go to town, and I am just making fun of them, drilling them. Well, they were just there to have a snack, like an appetizer and a drink. They're not having it. So the dude goes to the bar manager and he complains, hey, that guy is picking on me. And the manager's like, yeah, we pay him to. Sorry, that's what he does. So this guy is mad that he's not going to get his way and that I'm going to keep making fun of him. So he goes over to his table and pours his beer and dumps all his food out on the table and then decides he's going to storm out. Well, I already know what's going to happen because I know my brother-in-law. They get to the door and he's like, nope. He goes, go clean up your mess. They're like, what? He goes, we don't work for you. He's like, I watched you dump that up. He literally makes them, won't let them leave. Hands them a towel and a mop. Makes them go back to the bar. And now they're cleaning it up. But not only are they cleaning it up in front of the people that are there, I'm just hammering them.
Oh, no.
I mean, just relentlessly.
No.
One line after another. Just while he's over there mopping the floor. And they are not having it, man. They were not happy. That might have been the most joy I've ever had in my heart to see somebody leave the bar was when they finally walked out. So some people did get infuriated, but some people laughed too. That was a wild time in my life, man.
Then one of the other things you did was when you moved back to Oklahoma, Kelly, you became the MC for the local minor league baseball team. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so what is that? What is that doing? You're on the field. You're bringing random, you know, circus on the field. Like, what are you doing there?
Yeah, all of that. So my job as the on-field MC for the Tulsa Drillers was in between innings for entertainment for the crowd. I would go out onto the field, and either I would do games with kids, or I would tell jokes, or we would do some crazy stunts. I'm that annoying guy that you wish would shut up at the game. That was me. And again, this was still a plight for me to try to find fulfillment, to be some sort of celebrity. Everybody's got to know me. If everybody knows me, I'll be happy. I'll find joy. But what I learned real quick is that nobody lines up to get the autograph from the on-field MC for the baseball team, right? Nobody cares about you. Like that, it wasn't working for me. So at the end of that season, I retired from baseball and said, this is not for me. I am done. I'm out on this. So I only did that for one season.
I have a question for you. When you were doing the whole stand-up, did you ever feel conviction when you were making fun of people?
You know, every once in a while, I would feel a little sting. But for the most part, I was so far gone.
So far.
Your heart was probably too hard at that point, right?
Yeah.
Right. And I took pride in what I was doing.
Yeah.
I took pride in making you cry. I took pride. So at the end of the night, what I would do was I would give three people an opportunity to come on stage and make fun of me just to make them feel like they got back at me. But as soon as I got them on stage for 2 minutes, I would just destroy myself, just rip myself apart so that when I handed them the microphone, they have nothing left to say. I stole everything from them. And so they even look like bigger idiots trying to come make fun of me because I just made fun of myself in such a way that you couldn't. So I had so much pride in my heart that I was even tearing myself down horrible. So yeah, I was pretty far. My heart was pretty hard.
So what was the turning point to bring you back to God?
That pretty much leads us right to where we were. So when I got done with the Tulsa Drillers, when that wasn't working, I decided, all right, I need to come up with another plan, right? I got to figure something else. I got to be famous one way or another. We got to make it happen. So I came up with another idea for a TV show. I thought, I already know how to do this. I'm pretty good at it. Let me go to Fox and I'll pitch them an idea, you know, for the local Tulsa station of Fox, and pitch them my idea for a show. So I'm driving to Fox to pitch them the idea, and I'm driving in my truck, and I can't tell you that I heard the audible voice of God, but I can't tell you it wasn't either. I don't know. It was so loud and booming that it could have been audible, all right? But I hear God while I'm driving to that TV station say, Kelly, I have a plan for you, and I'm still waiting on you. And I think a lot of people would be excited when you hear the audible voice of God, but I yelled back, and I said, God, I have tried serving you so many times, and I fail every time. I said, I'm not doing it again. I said, if you want me, come get me, but I'm not making any changes. That's what I said, and I meant it. No joke. The very next morning when I woke up, it was like every desire I had shifted. I didn't want to listen to the same music anymore. I didn't want to watch the same stuff on TV anymore. I didn't want to talk the same. I just wanted to start watching sermons on YouTube. It overtook me. I cannot explain to you this desire. So I just started getting into the word like never before. Started watching sermons. I'd be driving. I used to have horrible road rage. I'd be cussing somebody out, and then I'd just be like, God, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, it was crazy, just all the changes. After a few weeks, I told my wife, like, hey, I want to go back to church. I want us to take our family to church. You know, what do you think? And she was like, no. She's like, we've done this with you before, and we love it, and we want to go. And then you stop going. And she's like, and I'm there taking the kids by myself. She's like, we're not doing this again. I was like, fair enough. So that Sunday, I got up, and I went by myself.
If you like what you hear, please tell someone about us. As soon as this episode is over, go tell your spouse, your closest friend, a parent, a coworker, or share one of our posts on social media.
However, if you don't like what you're hearing, please do not.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
Just disregard this message.
Don't worry about
it. Forget about us.
Yep.
Go on with your merry day.
And to get more information about us or our entire catalog of episodes, be sure to check us out at kevinandsteph.com. Thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
So tell us the story then about how you felt God was leading you to do videos, and you wrestled with that for a while and actually started writing blogs instead, right? Can you share that story with Steph? Because that's fantastic.
Sure. So, okay. So we're going to church now. God's really moving in our lives. So I decide, all right, God, you call me to be a preacher. That's what I'm supposed to do. So I decided to send a picture of myself and a picture of my family and a resume to 100 churches in the Tulsa area. That's where I was living at the time. So I sent out 100 emails. Do you want me to come speak at your church? 100 emails. Guess how many replies I got? Zero. Not one. Not one church even wrote back saying, sorry, no, we're not interested. You know, thank you. And I get it. Now being a pastor, I get it. That I would have looked at that email and been like, what? Who? What? No, no. You know, I don't even know you. Speak at my church. Who are you? I get it. I get it. But in that moment, I was really discouraged because I didn't know what to do. So once I got the zero replies, I went to God and I was like, God, I don't know what to do, man. You called me to do this. Nobody will let me come. And I knew a lot of it had to do with the way I look, right? You see a picture of me going, hey, can I come preach at your church? You're going to be like, no, right? I get it. So I'm like, God, I need some help here. How is this going to work? And God straight up told me, start making videos and post them online. And I was like, no. Is there another way? You got to know, at this point, I'm like 400 pounds. I weighed about 400 pounds back then. I was a big dude. I'm like a little under 200 now. So half of me is gone, right? I'm a big guy. And I'm like, God, the internet is mean. They're going to be brutal. They're going to make fun of me. They're going to talk trash. I don't know that I'm up for this. Not only that, God, you know who my friends are? I'm friends with a lot of famous musicians, a lot of rock stars, and they don't like you. So if I start posting videos about you, God, I'm going to lose my friends. This is why I didn't want to obey God, because of what I thought it was going to cost me. So I tell God, I'm not going to do videos. I'm not going to do it. I'll write a blog for you instead. So I get up, start writing a blog every day, and I'm just killing it, cranking out these amazing lessons in this blog, and nobody's reading it. Nobody. I'm not getting 5 views, 5 reads a day, nothing. I'm like, God, what's the deal, man? And he's like, I never told you to write a blog. I told you to make videos. I was like, all right, God, I get it. You win. And this is when I relented and said, all right, I'm not going to write blogs anymore. I'll start making videos. And I will never forget the first video. First video was just me holding my phone like this, right? And I called the video Satan Doesn't Attack Like Mad Max, something like that. The Mad Max Fury Road movie had just came out. That video got 92 views. 92. But something happened in me that I never expected. That fulfillment and that joy that I had been looking for my entire life. When I saw that 92 people had watched that video, this warming, fulfilling feeling just overwhelmed me. And it was, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. It's not about making me famous. It was about making him famous. So the next day I made a video, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and I just kept going. And they went from 92 views to 100, to 1,000, to 5,000, to 50,000, to 500,000, until finally in 2016, I released a video called Is It a Sin to Get a Tattoo? Which I bet you can tell which side I'm on.
I hope not.
Right? That video did over 3 million views in the first week. And it was because of that video, my phone started ringing off the hook. I'm saying churches, conferences, camps all over the country started saying, hey, will you come and preach? Will you come and preach? And ever since then, in 2016, I've been traveling full time as an evangelist, pastor, and author, preaching and teaching everywhere I can go.
Okay, I have a question. Have you ever gone to a church where you're going to speak, but they've never seen you physically? They've just heard you, and then you walk in, and they're like, who are you?
And you're a big dude, too, right?
Okay, so I'm preaching in Yakima, Washington, up by Seattle. Where are you guys, by the way?
Columbus, Ohio.
Okay, okay, okay. So I'm in Yakima. I've never preached at this church before. And I'm going to look for the bathroom before service starts. So I'm out like wandering around in the lobby, like by myself, you know, looking like me. And I see this lady like watching me. I mean, like a hawk, like eyeing me down, you know. And I'm just walking around, I'm trying to ignore her. And finally she comes over to me and she goes, do you know where you are? And I was like, kind of. I was like, I'm at church, but I'm looking for the bathroom and I can't find the bathroom. She's like, so you meant to be here today? I was like, yes, ma'am. She's like, the bathroom is over there, and like points it out and like walks off. And I'm like, okay, you know, no big deal. I'm not judging her. So I use the bathroom, whatever. Well, when it's time for me to come on the stage, they introduce me as the guest speaker, and I'm walking up and I catch eyes with this lady. Like I see her and she looks at me and she just goes, sorry, like, apologizes so big. And it was the funniest moment to me in my life, because before that moment, she thought I was a threat to her church and I didn't belong there. And then the pastor, her precious pastor, introduces me as the guest speaker. And that was the funniest moment in my life, of her just mouthing, I'm sorry. And then after church, she came up to me. She's like, I didn't know you were a pastor. I'm like, that's okay. She's like, don't judge a book by a cover, ma'am. You never know. You never know.
But here's the other thing, Steph. I guess we're exaggerating the way Kelly looks, right? In my opinion, you have sleeves. You know, you have, I think, a lip tattoo.
A piercing.
Or a piercing. A lip piercing, right?
Earrings. And so, yeah.
It's not like you have a face tattoo, neck tattoos here, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's true. 100%.
In my opinion, this isn't crazy.
But to us, it's not. So to us, it's like, okay, he's a cool guy. Like, we would never
think
that.
But there are people that do. And at the end of the day, I'm still not what a pastor looks like.
Correct.
I'm not your typical idea of a pastor. So, and then when I take the stage and I'm still dressed like this and I still look like this, which I do that with a purpose behind it, to make people feel comfortable. There are people that just because of the way I look, they've come up to me and said, hey, I was able to listen and pay attention because I felt comfortable with you, you know? I've heard things like that so many times, and it makes it all worthwhile for me.
Steph, what is one of the most asked questions we get about Tell Us a Good Story?
Do I really get that excited?
Besides that one.
Oh, how do we get all these incredible guests?
Correct. Yes. And some of our best conversations have been with guests who our listeners have reached out to us and said, you should talk to this person. To name just a few, Nick Vujicic, Coach Tom Ryan, Carol Motika were all recommendations from our listeners.
So if there's someone you would like us to interview and think they might be a great fit for Tell Us a Good Story, please let us know at kevinandsteph.com. You don't even have to personally know them.
True, but do me a favor. Before you submit their names, please make sure they are still alive. That has actually happened, and it is super hard for me to find their contact information.
But regardless, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
Well, Steph, he's also written 3 books. His newest book is titled Think About That for a Minute, which is a 40-day devotional. So, Kelly, yeah. Can you share with listeners about your newest book?
Sure. So my newest Think About That for a Minute, the devotional that you just mentioned, that's volume one. So volume two is actually already done and written. It's just not out yet. Yeah, I hope that it is out right now when you're listening to this. I hope that it is. But yeah, so I'm really pumped about it. So let me walk you through what it's about. Can I do that? Is that all right?
Yes.
Please.
So again, if you've noticed anything through my stories, it's a lot of God telling me to do something and then me saying, are you sure, God? I really don't want to do that. This book is no exception to that story. This was my third book. Think About That for a Minute was my third book. My first one was called Reckless Love Revolution. It was about loving people to Jesus. My second one was called Get Lit, Stay Lit, Spread It. It's about getting on fire and never burning out. So when it came time to write the third book, I'm like, all right, God, what are we writing about next? I had so much fun with these topics. What do you want me to write about? And I really felt him saying, Kelly, I want you to write a devotional. And what you need to know is I do not like devotionals. I do not like them. I think that they are all kind of the same. So I said, okay, if God is going to have me write a devotional, I'm not going to win this argument. I'm going to write it. What I wanted to do was go to scriptures that you would not find in a devotional. Because the truth is, every word of the Bible can set you free.
Yeah.
Every single word in the Bible is filled with power. So what I was going to do in my devotional was I was going to find verses that you've read a million times that we don't ever pay attention to, and not the ones we quote when we're in the middle of trouble. I want to take those verses and show you how even those can change your life. So that's what I did. So the book is called Think About It for a Minute, because that's what God's word said. Meditate on his word day and night, and you will prosper in every season. So every day for 40 days, there's a scripture. There's a breakdown of that scripture. Then there's an application for your life that day. Then there's a prayer for the day, and then space for you to write down what God is speaking to you. So if you see what I'm going for here, this book is starting your foundation and starting the habit of your walk with God exactly like it should be. Think about a scripture, see how it applies to your life, spend time speaking to him, and then let him speak to you.
Well, listeners, for more information about Kelly Kay and to get his book, you can go to social media pages. Facebook and Instagram is at Kelly Kay Ministries, YouTube, Kelly Kay Ministry, and his website is kellykayministries.com. And we'll put links in the show notes and on our website so you can click on this and go right to those pages. Well, Kelly.
And my TikTok is where I spend most of my time, and that one's Kelly Kay Ministries as well. Oh, I see. I do a live Bible study at 9 a.m. on TikTok every morning. So just so if anybody wants to join that.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
And currently, how many followers do you have on TikTok? Last time I saw it was like close to 600,000, I believe.
Yeah, I think we're right over 590,000. So right around 600,000 on TikTok. And
that's
we do that
awesome.
Bible study 9 a.m. every weekday. And we have about 1,000 people on there consistently throughout the hour. And we're having over 25,000 people total that join those Bible studies every morning. We're seeing about 100 people give their life to Jesus every morning just on those TikTok Bible studies. It's insane.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's incredible, Kelly.
Yeah, it's so cool. It really is.
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
You didn't know us, but oh my gosh.
Thanks, Kelly.
No, thank you. I'm honored. And I've had so much fun. I've done a lot of these. And you guys have been so much fun. And just this, for me, was a blessing today to stop working and hang out with you guys. I have really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. And I mean, I didn't say that on every other interview. I only said it today.
And like, hey, Steph, what was the first thing I said when we got on here?
We want to have fun.
No.
Oh. Shoot.
We are supposed to have this conversation.
Oh, 100%. Every time there's a block to talk to you.
Because it took three times to have this conversation.
I'm so sorry.
No.
Well, the first time was our fault.
It was our fault. Yeah.
First time was our fault.
The second one was mine.
But still, I'm like, okay. I said that last week. Apparently, we're supposed to have this conversation, Steph, because we typically don't have issues like this with rescheduling with guests.
It is. It's so. And every time it has happened, there's a conversation like what you just had with us, and we're like, okay, God, like the enemy did not want this conversation to happen.
That's exactly right.
You guys are so fun. This has been one of my favorite ones that I've done of all time. So thank you.
Oh, Kelly, that was awesome.
Friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.